As I mentioned before Mass, we are so blessed today to be able to celebrate this feast of the conversion of St. Paul during the year of St. Paul, a time to take a look at one of the greatest sinners converted and becoming one of the greatest saints. St. Paul admits he does not make any excuses, but he admits, I persecuted the church. He admits he was one of the greatest sinners, not worthy to be called by God at all. He was the one that was a solid Jew. He was the one that grew up in the faith. He knew that God had revealed himself to the Jewish people, that the Hebrew people were his chosen people, and that God was preparing them to reach salvation, that they were expecting the Messiah, and he did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. He was convinced that the Catholics were a cult and that they were endangering their souls, and he was going to put an end to it. He was wrong, obviously. And once he was enlightened by Christ, once he realized his mistake, he did not blame others. He did not say, it was my priest that made me do it. It was my political party that made me do this. It was my fault, he says. I did this. I chose to do this, and I was wrong. And the amazing thing is, God not only had mercy and forgave him, but he raised him up to the level of apostle. He raised him up to be one of the greatest preachers of all time. It was through Paul that the whole world came to know most of the New Testament, most of the writings that we have coming from St. Paul. God in his mercy is incredible. And we need to realize that. Paul Benedict wants us to know that. And that's why he's given us the opportunity to get a plenary indulgence today. The mercy of God is so incredible, you can have all of the remission of your sins, the punishment due to sin, rather, completely gone. The punishment due to your previously forgiven sin wiped away. Offer that plenary indulgence for yourself or for a soul in purgatory. Somebody is able to escape their own punishment and enter into the glory of God in heaven. What a great gift that is. Conversion is what this is all about. God's love is what brings about conversion, and his love is manifest in miraculous ways. St. Paul, when he was persecuting the church, had in mind goodness. It's a reminder to us that sometimes when people do evil things, they think they're doing it for the right reason. And we must be patient with them. We must pray for them. Don't give up hope that God can perform a miracle. Pray for the conversion of the world. Some people in here today might be thinking, but I've done things so horrible, God could never love me. God could never forgive me. God doesn't want me. You're wrong. As Paul was wrong, Paul shows us that. God will forgive anything, and he will raise you up to heights you never thought possible. Some of you might be thinking, well, I know he loves me, but he certainly could not love my mother-in-law. You might have somebody in your life that is so horrible, somebody that wants nothing to do with God, that persecutes the church, that persecutes all Catholics, that persecutes anything to do with faith. God loves them as well, and he can bring them to conversion. Do not give up on them. Pray for their conversion. Show them the love of Jesus Christ. Let God's mercy reign. This is something essential. Once Paul realized, once he was enlightened by Christ, he realized he was wrong. What did he do? He was baptized and became Catholic, and he followed the Catholic Church teachings. He realized the authority that God had given to Peter. He followed the church teachings, and what did he do with that? The first and most important thing he did is he's explaining about Jesus Christ and his love, that he is the Son of God. He is the one that everybody has been waiting for. He is the Messiah. That was his message. And what is one of the ways that he showed us this message in a profound and beautiful way? When he taught us about the Eucharist. He taught us about Jesus at the Last Supper taking bread and taking wine and having a miracle occur, and it changed into his very being, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And Paul, as he's explaining this miracle, wanting everybody to participate in it completely, he says you need to recognize what it is. Do not come and partake of Holy Communion without discerning the body Make sure you are coming worthily. Ask God to forgive you. Forgive others that have sinned against you. Come and recognize Jesus is here present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in Holy Communion. Recognize this is the Son of God that is bringing salvation to the world. It's important that he spoke about that for us today. He spoke about it in such a way that he reminded us that if you come and receive unworthily, you could become sick. He said, there are those among you who are sick, and some are even dying because of an unworthy reception of Holy Communion. That is the consequence of thumbing your nose at the teaching of Jesus. He says to don't do it. Very simple, plain message. Come properly prepared. Come properly humbled. Admit on your knees that you need God's love, that you desire his love, and recognize his love made manifest in Holy Communion. The reason it's so important today, of all days, is because last week we found a consecrated host on the floor in this church. Why it was there, we do not know. How it got there, we do not know, but somebody brought Holy Communion back from the sanctuary into the pew and laid him on the ground, our Lord and Savior, desecrated in that way. We don't know what Mass it took place at. We just know it happened here. We don't know why. Was it a Catholic who purposely desecrated the Eucharist? We do not know. Was it a non-Catholic who happened to be stopping by or was visiting friends and came in and nobody explained to them they weren't supposed to receive this sacrament of unity in the Catholic Church until all Christians are united once again? And once they came up and they received, they were ashamed and just stuck our Lord on the floor out of sight, hoping nobody would know. We don't know why this was done. But we know it was. And so today I want to use this time as a reminder, as Paul reminded us. This is not holy bread that we receive. This is not a symbol of God's love that we receive. This is the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ himself, that is made present in the most holy sacrament of the altar. This is our Lord and Savior that we come up to receive. And when I give you the blessing with that sacred host, and I ask God to be there with you, and I pray over you with the host and give you that benediction, I am showing you Jesus Christ himself, the same Lord that came among us as a man, that revealed himself to Paul on the road with a blinding flash of insight. The same Jesus Christ that Paul gave his life in promoting, in loving. I would encourage you to be very aware of who you receive when you come up, and come up with reverence and dignity and love. I would also ask you to beware of those who might be coming back with evil intentions against the Eucharist and hiding the Eucharist in the palm of their hand, or putting him in their pocket. I would ask you to be aware of those who don't seem to know what to do with our Lord once they receive. Make sure you don't just close your eyes, but make sure that you follow them and ask them, consume our Lord or bring it back to the priest. This is so essential. Along with this, though, Paul had more things that he was explaining. As he's explaining about his conversion, as he recognized the love of Christ, he recognized that his persecutions of people were also wrong and evil. It wasn't just going directly against our Lord that is evil, as we desecrate the Eucharist, but also as he was persecuting our Lord's chosen people, as he was putting them in chains, binding them, both men and women, and even handing them over to death, to be killed. The innocence of the victims, he humbled himself and admitted, I should not have done it, and God have mercy on my soul. The reason that this is so important today is because we need to be praying for the conversion of those who are still putting the innocent to death, those who are binding them up, those who are killing them and handing them over to be killed. In a particular way, I'm asking you to pray for the conversion of our president. When Barack Obama, the senator, was running for office, he made campaign promises that he would kill more children or make it legal to kill more children, make it possible to kill more children than any person on the face of this earth in history. He promised to make it possible to have more children killed than any tyrant ever promised. And he has started to fulfill his promises. On Friday, he signed into law, he signed an executive order that removed the protection of the unborn in the Mexico City policy. This was a policy that was signed by Ronald Reagan when he was president that said the United States will not pay for abortions overseas. The United States, although he could not stop abortion here, he was not going to promote it overseas, and he refused to send our tax money overseas to organizations that would abort children. When President Clinton got into office, he removed that restriction and said, yes, we will. The American people will pay for abortions worldwide. When George Bush got into office, he removed those he put those restrictions back on and said, no, we will not. It is an abomination, and although I cannot stop it here in my country, I do not have to pay for it in other parts of the world. One of his campaign pledges, Barack Obama said, we will pay for abortions everywhere. Friday, he made that possible once again. We need to pray for his conversion. At a time when we are in one of the most grave financial crises our country has ever been in, we are going to be sending millions of dollars overseas to kill children. What an abomination. And it has not taken us by surprise. It was a promise. Those who voted for him voted for this. They voted to spend millions of our dollars sending death across the seas. We need to pray. Also, I want to point out he's going to go further if he gets the chance. Another one of his campaign promises is that he would sign immediately the Freedom of Choice Act if it was presented to him. The Freedom of Choice Act removes all restrictions on abortions that any state has placed legally on them. I want to read part of a letter from Bishop Robert Lynch. Dear pastors, I write to you today to encourage you to mobilize your congregations to oppose the Freedom of Choice Act, or FOCA. FOCA is a radical piece of legislation that creates a fundamental right to abortion throughout the 9 months of pregnancy. For the first time, abortion would become an entitlement the government must fund and promote. A broad range of laws currently allowed under Roe would be eliminated. Informed consent laws, parental involvement laws, laws promoting mental health, abortion clinic regulations, government programs and facilities that support childbirth and other health care without subsidizing abortion, conscience protection laws, laws prohibiting a particular abortion procedure, example, partial birth abortion, laws requiring that abortion only be performed by a licensed physician, and so on. These policies may be threatened by legislative action or executive order. As he's listing those restrictions on abortions that would be removed, did you hear how radical this is? Every Catholic hospital would be forced to do abortions. Every Catholic doctor would be forced to do abortions. Every Catholic nurse would be forced to assist at abortions. Abortions would no longer be restricted to only physicians. Others would be able to do it without medical backgrounds. There is no conscience clause allowed any longer. Mom and dad would no longer have a say as to whether their underage girl had an abortion. Everything would be wiped out with a stroke of the pen. We must fight against it. The people of this nation, but most assuredly the people of this congregation, knew ahead of the election that this was coming, because I made sure that they knew about it. We voted for him anyway, as a nation. It's not too late to repent, to have a conversion, and to ask for him to repent and have a conversion. With this letter and this mobilization effort come some postcards, and we're asking you to take these postcards and fill them out and send them in to your two senators and to your U.S. House of Representatives. We ask you, if you would like to fill them in right here at church. Fill them in before you walk away today and leave them here with us. We'll send them in. If you don't know Martinez and Nelson's name or Ginny Brown Waite's name, we'll even fill that part in if you would simply fill in your own name and address to let them know who's sending this in. We'll even put the stamp on it for you. It's that important. Please pray for the conversion of all of those who have it within their power to either start, continue, or stop abortions. We need to have within our very lives mercy from God. We need to share that mercy with others and pray for conversion ourselves and around the world.